Good evening. No fair weather Christians here tonight. Came out in the rain, but I did think it was interesting. You know, Kim really, she pokes fun at me because I like the weather app on my phone, and she says, you know, you really think that thing is like every 15 minutes is going to tell you exactly what the weather is going to be. But I did think it was interesting. 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock, the percentage for rain just dropped way down, and it's going to go back up. It's like the Lord said, okay, I'm going to give you a little break here, and those that are going to come, I'm going to give you a little break from the rain. So at least you got in, hopefully, out of the rain. We'll see about getting out. But get ready to go here and talk about a few other things, I was thinking about what Stephen said about those years and vanity and pride. But then it struck me, I never thought about this before, but I thought about what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, I think it's verse 8, where he talks about that a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. So, you know, I figured it up kind of quickly, and if you were just barely 6 years old, you'd have been like 2,200 days old. So like 2,200 years, of sin, so and vanity and pride. So, you know, you can sing that with gusto, brother, because, you know, you think about it like that, if you want to, but you might not want to. So anyway, now to the topic at hand, the book of Proverbs. We have been looking at this book for some time on Sunday nights when I've spoken, and we're looking at it under the theme of wisdom for everyday life. And we've looked at the first nine chapters, being able to divide those up as you work your way through. Chapters 30 and 31 are similar, but 10 through 29 we find to be quite scattered in our human Western minds anyway. And so we're looking at that somewhat thematically and going through and pulling out topics and looking through those chapters to see what the Lord may have for us that we can apply to our everyday lives, His wisdom for us. And of course, every day you use your mouth. Every day your lips move and your tongue wags. I shouldn't have said that. Every day you use your mouth to express yourself in one way or another, to communicate. Every day you use words. That's verbal communication. And in a way, most of the time, or much of the time, I should say, that is audible, it's heard. But then really, as I was thinking about this, and I have here in the subtitle, Proverbs about how we use our audible verbal communication, but sometimes we write or text or email. So in a way, this I could just pull out the audible part there, and really we can apply this a little bit more broadly to the idea of verbal communication. Such a large part of our lives, and maybe that's why it's such a major theme in the book of Proverbs. I mentioned last month, as we looked a little bit at the tongue and the mouth and the lips, that from chapters 10 through chapter 29, there are approximately 110 verses that speak specifically about our words, about what we say, how we communicate verbally, and the impact of that. And last time, we started out with the thought of watch your mouth, and we considered how our verbal speech can be used and should be used as a consistent source of spiritual health. That's what we looked at. So this time, we're going to look at the same topic, but from a different angle, because the reality is that, of course, there are also many ways in which our speech can be used as a spiritual health hazard, both for ourselves and for others. So we're going to be talking tonight about watch your mouth too, a caution health hazard. Look with me, if you will, as we start at Proverbs chapter 18. And of course, tonight, again, we're going to be working our way between chapters 10 and 29. So be ready to move there or click on your device, whatever you're using, to read the scriptures with us tonight. But here in chapter 18 and verse 21, we'll begin there, and particularly focusing on the first section of this verse, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. As we use our tongues for spiritual benefit, for spiritual health, life is in the tongue. There's power in that tongue. But there also is power. The wise proverbian tells us here that death is also in the power of the tongue. And so there is a health hazard, a potential health hazard in every one of our mouths. I was reading this week in someone else's comments on the power of the tongue. This quote, "For every word in Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, 125 people died in World War II. For every word in that book that expressed his philosophy. And I'm not saying that everyone in World War II died directly as a result, but in a sense, we can see that. That for every word he wrote in that book, every word of his communication, 125 people statistically and in reality died directly or indirectly as a result of Hitler's words. Look with me on back to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18 here again in our introductory remarks as we consider the fact that we need to watch our mouths because there are some health hazards there. Not only the possibility of spiritual benefit, of a healthy spirituality that we can impact other people through what we say in an edifying way spiritually for their spiritual health benefit, but also we need to be aware that there are potential health hazards there. Look at chapter 12 of Proverbs and look at verse 18. We mentioned this verse last time, thinking particularly about the ending of the verse. But read it with me again. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. So that second part of the verse that we considered last month, the thought of the tongue of the wise person who uses his tongue, her tongue, wisely and in daily living, there's a promotion of a spiritual health benefits. But there is that one who speaks like the piercings of the sword. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are you that one? Are you that one? As this is written here, the thought is not so much as that there's only one person. There's only one person who speaks like that. That's not the thought, the intent of the proverb. No, the thought is that there are those who speak in such a way that it's like taking a sword and piercing, not physically into someone, but spiritually and emotionally and mentally and relationally. Could I be the one? As a believer in the Lord Jesus, I and you should be on guard to ensure that our speech is not a hazard spiritually to others, is not damaging others. Look back one chapter, chapter 11 and verse 9. Proverbs 11 and verse 9. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. When I am hypocritical, when I say one thing while doing another, or I say one thing while being another, I have the potential there in the words that I say to destroy my neighbor. The Lord Jesus asked the question, who is your neighbor? And of course, by his story of the Good Samaritan, we recognize anyone whose path we cross that is in need, that's our neighbor. If we're not careful, we can destroy them. You see, our mouths can be a health hazard, and the health hazard is already there. The question is, are we going to be aware of that and do something about it? Let's look at one other verse here in this introduction, over in chapter 18, as we think again about the fact that our speech can be damaging to others. But notice here in chapter 18 and verse 7, There's some damage here, but notice who is spoken of here. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. You see, not only is there a potential health hazard in our mouths regarding other people, but regarding ourselves. If we are foolish rather than wise in the way that we live our lives, if we go the way of foolishness and folly rather than the way of God's wisdom, if we do not apply the wisdom of God in our daily lives, not only is there a hazard for other people, there's a hazard for us. And we're going to see that, I think, tonight in the verses that we will look at. So the title of our time together tonight is Watch Your Mouth Too. There's a couple of ways that could be taken. The word too sometimes means also. Also, so that's an appropriate application. Watch your mouth too. Watch it because it can be used in a positive way, but also watch it because it can be used in a negative way. And then there, of course, there could be the play on words. Watch your mouth too, spelling it T-O-O, even though you really mean T-W-O, because this is our second part of this thought. But really the way I want to use it tonight is another usage of the word T, T-O-O. Man, that's a mouthful. All right, got to watch how I use my mouth here tonight. And that means to an excessive extent. So we'll see that. So we're going to look at seven twos to beware. Seven ways that our mouths could be used to an excessive extent. First of all, I think you'll see what I mean here when I say it. Talk that is too much. Too much. Look with me, if you will, at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. You see, as we think about our mouths and what we say, the quantity of what comes out of our mouths needs to be taken into consideration, needs to be evaluated. Why do I say that? Because we find here in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19 something that we need to keep in mind as we talk and as we think about our speech. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The more I say, the more opportunity there is for me to say something inaccurate or hurtful or misleading or questionable, or you could put a lot of other things in that blank. And you're probably saying, Mark, you got a whole lot of words, buddy. You're saying a whole lot of stuff here just standing up in front of us, much less in an individual conversation. And that's true. I need to be aware of that. I need to be on guard because of that. Because talk that is too much is potentially damaging. Because in the multitude of words, Solomon says, there's not a lack of sin. And there's another verse over in chapter 29, as we go from chapter 10, where we're beginning this group of studies, and all the way to chapter 29, where we're ending this group of studies on the themes of Proverbs, before we get to chapters 30 and 31 and look at those expositorily. Look here in chapter 29 and verse 11. Look at verse 11. Remember, we're seeking to be wise. What does he bring out here? A fool. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. A foolish man tells everything. A foolish man lets it all out. He doesn't hold anything back. He says everything that comes to his mind, everything that is a part of his inner person, a part of how he feels at the time. And he just says it, just lets it go. He pulls the stopper off and lets it fly. That's what he does. But you see, there's a potential damage there. There's a potential damage to our testimony. And I'm going to put our reputation a little bit separately in that as we think about it. Obviously, if I sin, that's not beneficial to my testimony for the Lord Jesus. And somebody who talks all the time and vents everything, even if I don't say something sinful directly, I find out that there's a foolishness to that. To say everything that comes into my mind, to express every emotion that I have in a verbal way to whoever may be listening. A potential damage to the reputation, because have you ever known anybody like this? You say, don't get around that guy because you will never get away. If you get into a conversation with that lady, you better just plan to be there for at least an hour. Okay? You're not going. And what does that do to your reputation? It's like, I don't want to hang around that person, not too much. I'm going to make sure that when I get into a conversation, somehow I got a way to get out. Because the multitude of words, sin isn't lacking, and sometimes in the multitude of words, there's foolishness, and not that what that person says is foolish, but just that you say, hey, I got some other things I need to take care of. So is there an antidote to this potential health hazard? Yes, it's pretty simple, and all of the antidotes are going to be, they're not going to be rocket science tonight. You can pretty much look at what the potential hazard is, and you can figure out the antidote. Even though I said this one a little bit differently, listen more, listen before, and listen for. Listen more. Instead of talking all the time, listen. I won't talk too much if I open my ears. I always think Mark Armfield shared with us one Wednesday night. I've never forgotten how he quoted his dad. I've quoted him before, and maybe in here even. But you can't learn with your mouth open. That it, Mark? Did I get it right? You can't learn with your mouth open. All right? So let me close my mouth and listen more. Listen before. Listen before I start speaking. Before I tell everything I know about every subject, maybe I ought to listen a little bit and get some input and find out some things from this person and maybe even find out what they're thinking. And then listen for. Listen for how foolish a fool sounds. You know, sometimes I can see the problem in them and I can't see the problem in me. I can see that they talk too much. They vent everything. And maybe somebody else is thinking, Mark is sure talking a lot, and he's sure venting a lot. So I need to listen for and to see how that really sounds and how that would impact someone else and say, hey, is that me? Am I talking too much? That's a potential health hazard. So let's look at another one. Talk that is too loud. Calm down, Mark. Calm down. No. Stay with me now. Quantity must also be taken into consideration. Volume must also be taken into consideration. Let's go over to Proverbs 27. You're not far away. Proverbs 27 and verse 14. Interesting verse here. All the verses are interesting. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. Kim and I laugh sometimes because we both keep our phones on at night. A couple of reasons. One, you know, maybe our children will need us. Maybe somebody in the assembly will need us. Maybe there'll be an emergency. Why some people decide to send a text at 5:30 in the morning, I do not know. I ought to read this verse to them. But they probably say, cut your phone off, buddy, and you don't have to worry about it, all right? Or maybe the Lord wants you to wake up at 5:30. But you know, I think about this, and speaking too loudly can actually have the reverse effect from what is intended. Don't you see that here in this verse? You see, the person has good intentions. They're coming in and they're blessing their friend. And sometimes the text that you might receive at 5:30 in the morning, it's a blessing, you know. But this is more the picture, I guess, obviously before texting. But the person's coming in and they're waking up their friend. They're excited. They got some really good news. So they want to just give them a blessing for the day. But you see, this person is a much earlier riser than this other person. Because some of you are saying, what are you still doing into bed at 5:30 anyway, Mark? You should have been up long before. Now, I meant a.m., by the way. I don't want you to think I'm still in bed at 5:30 p.m., all right? 5:30 a.m. But some of you are up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're thinking, man, half the day's gone by 8 o'clock. What are you doing? Not eating breakfast till 8 or 7 o'clock or whatever time. But, you know, those who rise early, and not only that, it's not just they're rising early, it's that they're speaking too loudly. They're trying to talk loud enough to be heard, right, to get the attention. Oh, that's part of communication. You notice when I talk, sometimes I get kind of loud, right? You say, man, cut the volume down back there, Jonathan, because we can get excited and we can communicate sometimes through our volume, but that's good when it's done at an appropriate time, in an appropriate volume. And if we're not careful, there can be a hazard there, because obviously in this situation, there's a potential negative impact on a relationship. This one who comes in with all good intentions and loudly blesses his friend. But you know what? That friend takes it as a curse. That's what it says. Right or wrong, that friend takes it as a curse. And praise the Lord, I can go back to sleep real easily. So, you know, that's not really a big problem for me. If you text me at 5:30, go ahead. I'll wake up and then I'll go right back to sleep. And then when I get up at 5:35, I'll read that text. You know, there's an obvious antidote to this. Be sensitive to the situation. Now, it's appropriate to be loud at a basketball game, but not appropriate to be loud in a library, okay? That's pretty obvious. In other words, there are situations that not only about volume, okay? That's the example here. But that's not the only way we should be sensitive in our conversation. We should be sensitive about what we say in every situation. And if I want my communication to have the desired effect, I need to be sensitive to the person and the situation. So talk that is too loud could be expanded to other situations where an insensitivity to the person, an insensitivity to the situation, could make what I mean with all good intention actually boomerang and turn around to be a negative thing. And rather than benefiting that person as I wanted to, I'm actually hurting that person and harming our relationship. So I need to be wise. I need to be sensitive. And you know what? The Spirit of God can help us with this, because He wants us to learn. He doesn't want our mouths to be used as in a hazardous way, but rather our mouths to be used in a way that is healthy. So He'll help us with it when we're insensitive. And other believers can help us too. And we might need to share in love, admonish one another. All right, here we go. Now, this is kind of the flip side of that. Not really, but it is as far as what we're putting up here on the screen. First of all, there can be a hazard to talk that is too quiet. And again, we are considering here volume. But what I really want to bring out here, and what we'll see in the verses, is the motivation for the volume level. Go, first of all, to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And verse 28, Proverbs chapter 16, and verse 28. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. A whisperer. See, what's the motivation here for the low volume? Before you totally answer that question, you want to get part of the answer maybe in your head, but go over to chapter 25 and verse 23, and we'll see somewhat the same thought using different words. Chapter 25 and verse 23, here's what we read here in this proverb, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied from Solomon. The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. The thought of backbiting here, of course, we could think about it in a literal way. We talked this morning in Galatians about biting and devouring one another. But here we have this idea of backbiting, and the real emphasis in the Hebrew word is that of secrecy. Secrecy. The results of this whispering and this backbiting, we see it in the verses. A whisperer separates the best of friends. You know, that whispering, that talking low behind somebody's back, that's the picture there, isn't it? We might call it gossiping. Talking about someone and telling someone else in a low voice, because we don't want them to hear. We're trying to hide it. We're trying to keep it in secret. And we find that that kind of use of our tongue can actually bring a division in friendships. Can bring a division in friendships between the person who is whispering and the person who is whispered about. Particularly if that whispering somehow gets out in the public. And doesn't that often occur? It does, doesn't it? Well, I'll tell my friend here because he would never tell anybody. Just like I would never tell anybody, right? And I told him, don't tell anybody this. Or I really said it like this, don't say this to anybody. Because I whispered it, right? But that person, well, I'll just tell one person. And finally, it gets back to that person that's been talked about. And there can be a division in the friendship. There can be a division in the friendship between the person I'm whispering to and that person I'm whispering about. And other friendships can be divided, can be separated because of that. And the backbiting tongue, we read, brings an angry countenance, just like the north wind brings forth the rain. Not sure what direction. I think it was a north easterly wind that's bringing in this rain that we're experiencing right now. And in the same way, a backbiting tongue can bring an angry countenance. And secrecy, when it becomes public, usually eventually results in contention and conflict. Well, the antidote is pretty clear. If I choose to talk to, not about, that person, there's much more of a likelihood, biblically speaking, that we're going to be able to get that thing resolved. If I go, according to the Scripture, and go and talk to my brother who has offended me, or whom I am concerned about, there's a whole lot better chance that's going to all get resolved and it's going to benefit them and it's going to help them rather than hinder them and rather than hurt them, rather than be a hazard, it's going to be a health benefit. So we need to be aware of talk that's too quiet. Well, let's look at another one. Talk that's too quick. Talk that's too quick. You know, we have a couple of sayings that we use. One, haste makes waste. And speed kills. You know, both of these are true, aren't they, in life and also in what we say. Look with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. Proverbs 18 and verse 13 talks about a use of our words. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is a folly, or it is folly and shame to him. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 20. You see, not pausing can turn out very badly. Proverbs chapter 29 and the 20th verse. Ask a question. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. A man hasty in his words, someone who is answering too quickly before he's heard all of the matter, he goes ahead and gives his answer. The one who is too hasty, too quick in his words, and there are potential hazards there. And we see what they are. They tell us in those verses, Solomon does. In chapter 18 and verse 13, the one who answers a matter before he hears it, it's a folly and shame to him. It's foolishness and it's shame to him. The person who's hasty in his words, look what he says, there's more hope for a fool than for him. wow, that is some strong condemnation right there, or strong revelation. Let me put it that way. Because when you read through the book of Proverbs and you see about the person who's the foolish person, wow, that's the serious contrast to wisdom. And here he says, there's more hope for that fool than there is for the person who is hasty in his words. Wow. You see, again, there's that effect on our testimony before others. There's that impact negatively on the respect that other people had for us. There's a damage to relationships. Kim and I went and saw the other night the movie The Case for Christ. I would really encourage you. That is an excellent movie. It's not done as a documentary, though you may think that's what it's going to be. It's not at all given like that, but the message is powerful. But it's in the story of Lee Strobel and his wife. And it's really a neat story. But in it, he's a writer for the Chicago Tribune. And one of the side stories is about him writing an article on a police shooting. And the man who's accused of the police shooting is ultimately convicted and sentenced to 15 years in prison for that shooting. Well, the thing is, he goes into the prison. He was a gang informant. And so Lee Strobel thinks he has it figured out, and he goes ahead and writes the article, and is published, and the man is convicted. He's put into prison. Well, the fellow gang members, or former gang members who were there, are not happy at all about what he's done. The guards, well, this is a cop shooter here. They turn their backs while this man is beaten unmercilessly. Later, it comes out, Lee Strobel figures out what actually happened. I'm not going to tell you because I don't want to spoil that for you. But you see, because he was hasty with his words, this man ended up in prison, beaten, and Lee Strobel visits him in the hospital and tells him, I'm sorry. I didn't really hear. And he said, you didn't want to hear. You didn't want to hear. Well, what's the antidote to that? Well, the antidote is to slow down and take time to ensure accuracy. Slow down my response. Slow down what I say. Make sure that I have the information. Make sure that I've heard both sides before answering. Sometimes our talk can be too quick, but we need to slow down. Number five. Now, this is takes a little explanation. Talk that is too selfy. All right? That's not a biblical word. I know self's a biblical word. But as I thought about it, this seemed like the best way that I could express this. Death by selfie. All right? You know what a selfie is, right? You take your phone out here, and then you go to camera, and then you go to selfie, and you look, and hey, y'all want to get in a picture here? Okay. Everybody smile. All right? Now, what would you say if I backed up and tried to get a little closer and fell off here? You know, I read about a 66-year-old Japanese tourist who was at the Taj Mahal and fell down a flight of steps taking a selfie. Okay? Death by, he died. Because he got too, you see people taking pictures of themselves on the edge of a cliff, right? You think, I'd never walk backwards and fall off. I wouldn't do that. You know, I would suggest that it's okay to take some selfies. But you know what? Our talk can become too selfie. Let's look at several verses here. Proverbs 27. We're going to read verse 2 first, then we're going to read verse 1. All right? Proverbs 27 and verse 2, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. A self-praise, that's too selfie, okay? It's not that it's wrong to ever talk about yourself, but that's too selfie. Look at verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. You know, there can be too much self-confidence. Like, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I pulled out my phone and I looked at my weather app. I know what the weather's going to be. Right, Kim? I got it. I'll tell you every hour. What? It's raining. I know it's raining. I understand that. But I said 7 and 8. I didn't say anything about 7:50. All right? Okay. All right. Don't text me at 5:30 in the morning and ask me what the weather's going to be. All right? Because my wife will tell you he doesn't know. Okay. And then look over at chapter 20, and we'll get one more here. Chapter 20 and verse 14. It is good for nothing, cries the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasts. I took that guy. Oh, this isn't worth anything. This isn't valuable. I'm not giving you $50 for that. I'll give you $10. That's all it's worth. Knowing the whole time that it's worth at least $40, but man, I took him. Self-boasting, okay? You know what? Nobody enjoys being around somebody who just wants to talk about himself. I remember hearing about the guy who went out on a date with a girl, and he went on and he just talked about himself and talked about himself, and finally he said, well, that's enough of me talking about myself. Why don't you talk about me for a while? Okay? So that's not, she probably never went out again. You know, she probably didn't want to be around that. All right? You know, again, there's an effect of that, an effect on relationships, an effect on our testimony. By talking about ourselves too much, praising ourselves, being overconfident in our own knowledge and projection for the future, boasting about ourselves, about how well we did beyond someone else. But there is an antidote, and it's pretty obvious. Humility. And not thinking of ourselves more highly, in New Testament words, than we ought to think. And letting that humility affect what we say and the way we say it. Talk that is too selfy. Okay, two more to go. And we're working our way down here to on the clock. And we're going to go to talk that is too loose. You probably all heard the old saying, loose lips sink ships. It's an American English idiom. Means beware of unguarded talk. It started actually during World War II. It was on propaganda posters. And the point was that if you're not careful, you might say something to a covert enemy, or that a covert enemy overhears about the location, for instance, of a ship, and then that ship may get sunk because the information was taken by this agent. Now, that's kind of, you know, making us feel a little more important than we really are. I doubt anybody's going to hear what I say about where a ship is. But the point is, you need to be careful, because loose lips, talk that is too loose, can sink ships, and it can also sink relationships. Ooh, I like that. I just thought of that, actually. I should have used that. Loose lips sink relationships. Oh, that's good. All right. Now I'm speaking about myself. Man, I messed up. I just broke my own rule, broke the Scriptures rule. Okay, here we go. Let's look quickly at some verses. Here we are. Let's go to Proverbs 20, because we're closest to that. 20 and verse 19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. I'm going to put up several here, and you can jot them down if you want to look at them later, and I'll just read them to you. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 17:9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Proverbs 18:8 is also stated in Proverbs 26:22. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles or sweet morsels, and they go down into the inmost body. Loose lips sink ships. Repeating a matter, opening up our mouths widely, not guarding our lips, going about and spreading gossip. It tastes good going down, but you know, it gets down into the digestive system. And, oh, I think I'll have just one more of those sweet morsels. And it gets down in your gut and begins to do its work, revealing secrets, talk that's too loose, leading to destruction, causing hurt to relationships and reputation, complications, mistrust, and destruction in friendships. Losing credibility as a trustworthy person because you can't trust him. Don't tell him that, because he will go out and he'll probably tell someone else. And what's the antidote to that? To tighten control over the tongue. Check the tension on your tongue. Is it too loose? Might need to be tightened up. Or the guard might need to be put up a notch. The Spirit of God can do this. The fruit of the Spirit includes self-control. And we read in James, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. The most difficult part of the body to control, according to his writing. So talk that's too loose. And then finally, we're going to close with this one, talk that's too strong. You know, strong isn't always good. I know as a kid, one of the things that sometimes we would say to each other, trying to come up with to one up the other person is, yeah, you're strong, but smell isn't everything. You ever heard that one? You know, strong isn't always good, is it? No, if you smell too strongly, then, you know, that's not a compliment. It's like, man, go take a bath, buddy. You know, I'm going to say it in a gentle way. I'm not going to tell you at 5:30 in the morning, but I'm going to tell you, you need to take a bath, all right? Strong isn't always good. The point is, there's more than one way to say something. One final verse in chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse 1. This will be our last verse of the twos tonight. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So we have the contrast here. It's soft versus not hard, but soft versus harsh. Soft versus harsh. And we see the result of the harsh word. It can affect relationships by stirring up anger. Again, there's more than one way to say something. And we're talking about wisdom for daily living. We're talking about knowing how to communicate in such a way that the other person is benefited. And you know what? Sometimes castor oil is needed. But you know, what did, what was her name? Was it Julie Andrews that said a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down? I don't know who it was, but anyway, we'll give her credit right now. A spoonful of sugar. You know, how can I say this in a way that gets the point across, but it's soft? And that's the antidote. Soften your speech in wisdom, including nonverbal. How can I share this with someone and it be considered a soft answer? And it can turn away the wrath rather than stirring up the anger. How can I say that? Beware the health hazards of talk that is too much. We need to listen more deeply. Talk that is too loud. We need to be sensitive to the situation. Talk that is too quiet. We need to talk to, not about, that person behind their back. Talk that is too quick. We need to slow down and find the whole story out before we speak and think about it. Talk that's too selfie. We need to humble ourselves. Talk that's too loose. We need to tighten control over our tongues and guard our mouths. Talk that is too strong. We might need to soften just a bit. Controlling our tongues. Bewaring health hazards. Watch your mouth too. Got to watch my mouth too. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for letting me share these practical, hopefully, thoughts of Solomon's wisdom and the wisdom of other wise men of ancient times that God had people gather together because they were of Him, inspired by Him, breathed out by Him for us today, and not just for those in that time. So we'll close in prayer. I can't tell if it's raining or not, but we'll see when you go out, right? It's not raining as hard as it was. I know that. Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these ones who have come out tonight. Lord, they've encouraged my heart just by wanting to be here and making it a priority. And I thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that we have for our daily lives. It's all through Scripture. But, Father, we're thanking you tonight, particularly for the book of Proverbs and for just convicting us and challenging us and directing us regarding what we say and how we say it and when we say it and to whom we say it. Father, we pray that we'll learn, that we'll be open to you. Father, that your Holy Spirit will have control in our lives. Father, we'll know that we can't do it in our own strength, but only as we yield to you. And help us to be faithful to do that. Help us to be in your Word. Father, may your Word penetrate every part of our being, and may the life of your Son, the Lord Jesus, who every word he spoke was perfect. Never a man spoke like this man, even his enemy said. Father, we thank you for the gracious words that came out of his mouth. Every word he spoke, the word of God. Father, may we be controlled by him. And we thank you so much for him, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Stay around and talk. And if it's raining, that means you're supposed to stay in fellowship some more until it stops.